on how to treat it, how to take care of it. There was lots of doctors who had like had treated thousands of patients themselves and had YouTube channels and were talking about
every single person this guy's referring to is a quack lunatic psycho fringe freak who was part of either the Front Care COVID Alliance. Dave's probably debated some of these people who were like, oh, actually, if you actually pump 1,000 cc's of vitamin C right into this dude's cock and then you load him up with ivermectin prophylactic every single day, they actually never get sick. And I can tell because I've got a study from Kenya.
I mean, this is gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You know, you're gonna get bad apples. It's like, would you rather have three news channels that are feeding you all your information and you can't get it from anywhere else, or would you rather it be open season where everyone can go out and find information and you have to?
Oh my god. Oh, because that's what they do. Let me go and watch 52 different podcasts on ivermectin to figure out the truth of the matter. Oh, and by the way, those 52 podcasts, every single host is going to be a that doesn't have an idea how any of these drugs work or what any of this even is or what it even means for a thing to be FDA approved or what a trial is or anything. He doesn't know anything about any of this, but I'm going to go and sort out. This is like the blind leading the... Uh-oh.
So you're saying, by and large, over time, the public has become more distrustful of mainstream science, and I would say I would say authority in general,
simply,
the government.
Simply by using the term mainstream science, it's illustrating my point.
Academic science? What would be the correct word?
Well, I mean, there's academics.
Academics, as opposed to all of the non-academic science?
Science, and there's the private sector, but there's no mainstream science, right? There's science, and there's pseudoscience, right?
Right.
Whoever is publishing science, whether it is academic or, you know, whether it's in the private sector, whatever it is, right, that's actual legitimate science, and then there's people who lie about science on podcasts, right? And they refer to it as
mainstream
science.
Or there's Hamilton Morris,
who
does science and also does podcasts about, you know, scientific research that he does on psychedelics and stuff like that. He's not a mainstream scientist by any meaning of that word.
Sure, that's fair. He synthesizes chemicals. That's totally fine. You can do that. He's an interesting case, so like a hobbyist.
Yeah, why can't I be podcasting in Arrakis or whatever? Fuck!
Turned, you know, scientist. Right. But he's not pushing any super outrageous claims, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think where it gets squirrely is when you have science and you have academic institutions and you have that are all intertwined with governments, and then you have financial entanglements with all of that stuff.
Oh, so we just need science that has nothing to do with the government and no... This is what I mean when I say people just say shit. They just say shit that's just fucking retarded. Okay, I'm sorry. We need science with no government entanglement and no financial entanglement. Who the fuck is doing that science? Are these just like researchers that wander into the forest looking for microscopes? Or like what? Who's doing the science there? Maybe he'll say. I'm sorry.
There's financial entanglements in every single aspect of science, whether it be climate science, whether it be vaccine science or pharmaceutical companies. And
but that's
even geopolitics type stuff. Like, there's money and there's weird little financial incentives entwined into all of that stuff. And that's where it gets squirrely and that's where it gets hard to figure out what the truth is.
That's all. Everything. Like, scientists aren't free. They don't grow on trees, and neither does the equipment they use or the time they need to rent whatever facilities to do whatever research they're doing. I don't understand what do you, is it just like more people waiting for apples to fall off trees to discover gravity or what? Like, what?
That can also be used, number one, that can be used as a scapegoat, right? Blah, 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 in the pocket of big pharma. You just say that and people believe you. But number two, financial entanglements for the frauds that are pushing these narratives, right? They make money off of this stuff. So.
Sure. People can make money off of questioning power if they have a podcast or they're selling advertising. Or, I mean, selling books, maybe.
This idea that...
wait. I like how that was like, well, do you make money on the other side? Question. Well, I mean, I guess. Like, when I really say people like Joe Rogan... like make money. Maybe like on like books, I guess. Like,
scientist is in this incredible position of power or is doing something incredibly lucrative. The vast majority of scientists are not paid that well, right? They're just doing what they're doing because they love to do science and discover things, right? So it's this way.
Sure. Hopefully they do enjoy what they're doing and they love science and they enjoy all that. But also they like have to get funding for their shit. They have to get paid. They have to. Otherwise, what? where are they going to get their funding from? Yeah, how are you going to do work for free, or are you just, this is a passion project?
Of painting the scientific community as this cabal, you know, that's beholden to blah blah blah. Whatever, it's a global scientific community,
true,
operating
as well.
In academia, in the private sector, under many different countries, many different political apparatus.
Yeah,
there's no way to that is why the consensus of the global scientific community is what you go by at all times, right? Anything that is contradicting the global scientific consensus, that's what you want to be skeptical about, because can you get one scientist to lie? Absolutely you can. Wakefield or doctor.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Sure.
I want to make sure I'm clear on this.
Yeah.
You think anyone who is questioning or skeptical of the consensus.
The global scientific consensus, yeah.
What about that person? You should
be very skeptical of that person. Right. They are making claims that contradict the entire body of scientific knowledge. It doesn't 100% guarantee that they're wrong, but they're very unlikely to be right. And especially if they're not scientists themselves, they're almost certainly not right.
What you're saying.
So you want to gatekeep.
You can take someone's claims and go, all right.
What was wrong with it?
Guess how many gigabytes she had on her SSD left over?
Less than one.
Yeah, she had like 3.
Was that really slowing it down?
It was causing it to stutter, yeah. Because it's on the same as her Windows plus her
probably GTA. Something called the page file. Probably was trying to write to the SSD and, you know, wasn't working well, but, you know.
It wasn't working too good.
They're almost certainly not right.
I see what you're saying.
So you can take someone's claims and go, all right, well, all of the science says no, but all right, say your thing. And 99% of the time, they're trivially debunkable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little harder to debunk. You have to really dig into it. But the idea that you can, you know, you have scientists all over the world. There's no way to buy off millions of scientists in different countries, all these things. It doesn't make sense economically, right? You can buy off one scientist, maybe a handful, so you can get papers that are, you know, bought off by special interests. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, these are, you know, when you talk about climate science and things like that, this is the fossil fuel industry that's trying to manufacture this stuff. Right. So,
sure.
Again, it's pretty easy to spot the motives with things like that.
Hmm. You know?
Then with individual grifters, it could be anything. Right. Somebody's just trying to make a buck however they can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
so journalism, by definition, is being skeptical of power and being skeptical of the people in charge who are controlling things. That is the very definition of journalism. And is it so are you holding the people in power as your North Star of truth? Defending?
Scientists are not in tremendous positions of power.
Right?
They're just people doing a job. Right. And so this threat starts to evaporate when you say, well, this government made the scientists do the thing, whatever. Okay,
right.
Well, which government? We got these vaccine studies. This one's from Sweden. This one's from China. This one's from Argentina. This one's from, like, which government?
Right.
What are you talking about? The global, the Illuminati government? Like, what are you
saying?
Grants,
scientific grants for that scientist. One of the biggest ways scientists get funded is by grants from pharmaceutical companies. And
do pharmaceutical companies, I know they fund research, but is that considered a grant? Maybe it is. I thought grants were typically referring to social, like, government funding. But
I mean, we've had multiple in here. We had one in here maybe 2 weeks ago. It was the most recent one, who was a...
Professor Dave is pretty smart on this. I watched his debate with Dave the Funk, the one PhD chemist guy, against two, like, anti-vaxxer people. And they eviscerated these guys. It was one of the most painful debates I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. But Dave, he might be a little bit... Oh, debunk the funk. I feel like Dave might be a little bit too much on that populist brain rot, so I don't know if he can counter these points as hard as they should be countered. Like, the question would be, people always bring this up. Well, the drugs are being funded by... The research is being funded by the pharmaceutical companies that are trying to get the drugs approved. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Who's going to pay for that research? Why would somebody else pay for a private company's study for their own drug? Of course they're going to pay for it, right? Now, it's peer-reviewed, and then other people can ideally check the work and everything, right? This is part of the publishing process. But, like, how else are these studies going to get funded than by the people who stand to make the money off the drug? Of course. And also, obviously, you have to declare these conflicts of interest or whatever in the bottom or whatever of any study here you do. But, like, other people check into it as well. Like, there are other people that can do research on your drugs, and every other company is also incentivized to disprove your study. If you publish a study and it's bullshit and another company can show that it's bullshit, like other companies stand to make money off of your failures as well, right?
And I mean, we've had multiple in here. We had one in here maybe 2 weeks ago was the most recent one, who was a neuro, he was a neuroscientist working in Montreal, Canada, if I remember correctly. And it was in the 90s. I think it was 1994. He got a grant.
What? Oh.
W Quebec.
In Montreal, Canada, if I remember correctly. And it was in the 90s. I think it was 1994. He got a grant from Pfizer to test a neurotransmitter, some sort of drug for Alzheimer's. And he was testing the neurotransmitters. He was using PET scans to detect the chemical reaction in the brain to this drug for, to see if it was effective or whatever. And in the grant agreement, he had to sign off that if the results were negative, he could not publish them. He could not make them public. The results were overwhelmingly negative. The thing, the drug was not effective at all for Alzheimer's. It wasn't reacting. I think it was acetylcholine is what the proxy was he was looking for to see if it was reactive to this drug. And it wasn't. He asked if he could publish it. They said, no, you actually signed this document agreeing that you wouldn't do it legally. So you're legally bound to not publish this. And they ended up bringing that drug to market. And it probably made, who knows, billions of dollars. But like the point is...
Okay, there's a lot of things going on here. So one, it wouldn't surprise me if that was an ordinary agreement. Because if you're going through like the early development phase on a particular drug, you probably don't want like a published study every single time some early iteration of your drug is not working, right? Why would you want? Because then that would mean, my guess would be every single successful drug brought to market, my guess is they would all have like 100 bad studies that would come out beforehand as they're working on engineering the drug, would be the first part. The second part is, did the same drug that made it to market, was that the exact same one that the guy tested? Because why would a company even bother paying for research that shows that the drug is bad and then bring it to market anyway, where now if there are complications related to it, they're going to get FDA fucked for it. This is like, it's just like so crazy conspiratorial. You would, if this was how things actually worked, and this is always the biggest hate against these people, if it really was this fucking crazy how all these drug markets and everything worked, wouldn't we see like fucking millions and millions of people dying constantly from these crazy, horrible complications? Like, wouldn't we expect to see that? Or wouldn't a competitor figure this out and just publish the research and then completely fuck over somebody that they realized was doing this? I don't know.
Laser, you're legally bound to not publish this. And they end up bringing that drug to market.
Say, like, schizos, like, that is why people are dying?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Peterson said it for a while.
Or whatever, yeah.
No, you actually signed this document agreeing that you wouldn't do it legally, so you're legally bound to not publish this. And they end up bringing that drug to market. And it probably made, who knows, billions of dollars. But like the point is, these pharmaceutical companies, who knows? They spend...
I'd have to look into that, though, because drugs get don't get approved all the time, right? You have individual you have independent institutions that are running clinical trials, and drugs don't get approved all the time. So this narrative that pharma is just like, every drug I want will go to market no matter how harmful, it's just, you know, and I don't know the individual study that you're talking about.
I agree with you. That's probably not true, but yeah. would you agree that it does happen?
I'm not sure.
We approve like... is it like 40 drugs a year? Is it even that much? Hold on. How many drugs approved by FDA yearly? It's 40 to 60 novel drugs a year. It's not like there are that many, and there are tons of people that are researching trying to bring drugs to market. I like how he's just like, don't some just slip through the cracks? Like, we have no real approval process. Like, there's not. The thing that I hate the most is that these people don't even do any research into, like, what is the approval process? How do you even bring a drug to market? What is the way that you do that? What is the difference between a phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 trial? Like, they don't even think to ask these really basic questions before asserting these crazy statements of, like, well, maybe some just slipped through the cracks. Just random shit is, you know, approved by the FDA.
Isn't it incredibly stringent on getting, like, shit approved by the FDA?
Yeah, generally speaking, the process is, yeah, unless something crazy bad is happening, yeah.
Unless Trump just says,
you know, and I don't know the individual study that you're talking about.
I agree with you. That's probably not true. But yeah. Would you agree that it does happen?
I'm not sure. I mean, you'd have to give me an individual case. I mean, you just did, but I'd have to look into it. I'd have to see whether this is just a story or what it is, because this is part of the reason that it's so disastrous what's happening under this administration, right? Under the guise of protecting public health, you just have RFK just firing half of everybody at FDA, CDC, all these institutions, and all of these deregulations, right? It's actually the precise opposite of what he pretends to stand for, right? These institutions are there to protect us from the private sector, and famously have, right? Mm-hmm. Thalidomide wasn't approved in America because the FDA wouldn't approve it, you know, this kind of stuff. That's what these institutions are for. So, you know, what would a pharma company do? I mean, first of all, opening itself up to all these lawsuits. It's not like
they've been fucked by lawsuits. Sure, historically,
it happens. I mean, and so it's
there's more.
That's what these institutions are for. So, you know, what would a pharma company do? I mean, first of all, opening itself up to all these lawsuits. It's not like
they've been fucked by lawsuits.
Sure,
historically,
it happens. I mean, and so it's
there's more lawsuits against pharma. There's more money in settlements from pharmaceutical companies than any other industry, I think, on the face of in the history of humanity.
Possibly, and if well deserved, then great. But this painting of pharma as this unbelievable boogeyman with all the money in the world. Right? Do you know that the alt health industry is significantly larger than the pharma industry?
The alt health,
untested, unregulated supplement.
Oh, it would really. I imagine it would probably super depend on how much you encompass in like alt health. Like that would either be really surprising or not surprising at all. Because I wonder if you could broaden that out all the way to like protein supplements or something. Does that include? Are
like
they included
pills,
in like
protein supplements, and all that? Or
yeah,
industry, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's $1 trillion industry.
It makes more money than pharma.
Yes,
you got to find this, Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know that it takes, and I've had multiple people, like scientists, drug researchers.
Because, like, don't we spend more? Isn't it just Medicare more than $1 trillion? So he's saying that supplement industry is a $1 trillion industry. What is our yearly spending on Medicare? I that just seems like such a hard number to quantify. I don't know.
On here that have done had grants from pharmaceutical companies tell me that it takes between like $10 to $12 million, or I'm sorry, 10 to 12 years to develop.
Yearly spending on Medicare exceeded $900 billion in 2022.
Okay, yeah. Medicare isn't just pharma though. Oh, he's just talking about pharmaceuticals. Oh, I guess that could be true, depending on what you consider pharmaceuticals. Like chemotherapy and all that, I guess we would consider pharmaceuticals. I don't know.
Companies tell that it takes, and I've had multiple people, like scientists, drug researchers on here that have done had grants from pharmaceutical companies tell me that it takes between like $10 to $12 million, or I'm sorry, 10 to 12 years to develop a drug,
yeah,
with all the testing on rodents and all that stuff.
It's very stringent.
And it can cost $1 billion.
Yes, and only 1 in 10 drugs make it to market.
Right, so they have a huge financial incentive to push those drugs out and get those drugs out in the marketplace. And you know, famously, there's billions and trillions of dollars of settlements from these pharmaceutical companies having to pay.
Trillions of dollars in settlements? What is the total? That's a big number. But
people out for killing people, injuring people, lying to people with their marketing, malpractice. I mean, I don't have to look. You don't have to look any farther than, you know, the opioid crisis. So
were there companies that were sued for? I wish that he could cite cases or something. I understand this is fucking pod slop, but
I mean, my point is, like, to default to have that.
I think there was somebody sued related to the opiate stuff or
like the overprescribing of it, or
yeah, I feel like I remember reading that somebody got sued related.
Can you
to
sue
that.
Doctors on that? Not
I thought there was like a big big case related to it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
be your default to want to protect or to fight for those people. You know, you like to want to be the bulldog that's attacking people who are attacking those billionaires.
Could be only good times where you could ask
and those $1 trillion companies who are literally only looking out for their bottom line. And you know, they don't give a fuck about a middle class person who can't afford a really fancy doctor who just has to go to their checkups every 6 months or whatever, and has to do the bare minimum, and can't afford healthy food, they have to eat out. Like, they don't give a fuck. It's the insurance companies and these pharmaceutical companies that are raking in trillions of fucking dollars, right? Yeah. And they have immunity.
This is why I'm trying to tell you about the alt health industry, right?
Yeah,
they're making more money, and they're peddling lies and selling complete. So everything you're
he said trillions of dollars paid out in lawsuits, and then he just said they have immunity. How can both of those things exist at once?
Saying about testing and everything, these are products that are not tested on anything. It's not labeled as medicine, so they don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And there's all these, you know, so there's not only supplements that are actively harm people because they're not tested. They don't go through any clinical trials. There's no safeguards of any kind. So mm-hmm. you want to talk about that one drug that slipped through clinical trials and some, you know, unforeseen, not that, you know, pharma went through the checks and balances. Here we go. We did these clinical trials and something didn't show up and somebody got harmed. Okay, well, lawsuit, great, go for it, get the money. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about an alt health industry. All of these products are completely untested. They do measurable harm and they pull people away from legitimate medical attention that, you know, ivermectin would be, you know, although that is a real drug, though, ivermectin would be a great example of that.
So
it's common anti-vax talking point that you can't sue pharma companies for vaccine injuries. I do believe pharmaceutical products around vaccines, I think, get special protections, but that's not ordinary. Those are special exceptional protections for vaccines. I don't know of any other healthcare thing that applies to. And also, it's contradictory to the thing that he said earlier, that there are trillions of dollars of payouts and settlements or whatever. How could that be possible? They all have immunity. It just doesn't make any sense.
This is, what is this, Google's AI or whatever, summing it up? The broader, this is what Google's saying. The broader global wellness industry, which includes alternative health, wellness, tourism, nutrition, and personal care, is significantly larger than the pharmaceutical industry.
Uh-oh.
Estimates place the global wellness market at over $6 trillion.
Damn.
Which is several times larger than the estimated 1 to 2 trillion global pharma. That's the global pharma. So this is not in the US, this is global?
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Massive market share, the global wellness market, okay.
I mean, think about it, how many people do you know
Can you break this down by countries?
Why? What is he looking for?
Sorry, what were you saying?
How many people do you know that are regularly taking tons of prescription drugs versus how many people do you know that follow a bunch of health influencers and buy the supplements?
Dude, everybody I know has been on
Prozac,
fucking Adderall since they were like 12,
okay,
and they were prescribed it.
True. There's some oversight on that. Yeah, I mean, Adderall I think was probably overprescribed in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that's a huge problem, man.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Like, you know, people, oh, Dave Pharma Show, whatever. There are things
that you can criticize. The super negative effects that people are having if they were prescribed Adderall.
Long term, I don't
like heart shit.
I don't believe even heart stuff. I'm not sure if long term if there are any, but I don't know.
Okay.
Pharma for it, right? And so, sure, sometimes they try to influence doctors to prescribe off label, right? They'll say, well, this drug is for this, but it might work for this. Can you prescribe it for that too, right? There's a little bit of that kind of oiling going on and call it out. I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm not here.
Look,
like,
dude, there's absolutely grifters in the alternative health.
Oh,
Grant Cardone, the fucking Scientologist.
Well,
you know,
what?
Sorry. One of the negative effects is they do well in their careers.
True.
I'm sure you're familiar with him. He brags about all the jets. Yeah. I mean, he's selling like hyperbaric chambers and cold plunges, and he's calling it 10x health. And like, it's just comical.
This is what I'm saying, is that this stuff has taken off because of the cartoonish degree to which people vilify pharma. And so, look, you know, if I can come back and we can like do a really, really in depth, give me all the cases you want to talk about. Right.
We're staying high level. Yeah. We're not getting in the weeds.
Totally. Yeah. But what I'm saying is there are things you can criticize pharma for. Go for it. It's no problem. But the cartoonish villainization is what has propped up this enormous health wellness industry that is just full of grifters.
I'm sure that's right.
Complete snake oil that is actively harming people.
Springtime means it's time to clean out your fridge of forgotten leftovers and old condiments. And it's time to restock those shelves with some refreshing life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/Danny. And don't forget to use our link below so they know we sent
no
you.
Way.
Even the grifters themselves, right? Me and Dan Wilson did a debate against Pierre Corey and Steve Kirsch.
I watched that, bro.
Yeah. And so one of them, Steve Kirsch, went blind in one eye because of a supplement that Peter McCullough, the Spike Detox supplement. This is a supplement that is completely untested. He took it and he went blind in one eye, and yet he's still on this anti-vaccine crusade, right? Pierre Corey, another guy, just made a boatload off ivermectin. Frontline doctors made a boatload off of ivermectin, saying this is this wonderful cure-all drug. You can't get COVID. Take it as a prescription every month, right? Mm-hmm. Every month, you know, keep spending money. You'll get it. And just how many thousands and thousands of people died of COVID because they didn't get the critical care they needed and then it was too late. That's the real villain. So criticize pharma for the thing.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm gobsmacked right now. Forsen showed his dog after getting 5,000 subs. Oh. No one's seen this dog in like 6 years, man.
He's alive. Based.
That it does, that's fine, like, and I'll do it with you, but this is the real villain.
I think it's fuck both of them. Mm-hmm. I think we need to attack them both. I don't
pharma
think
makes real drugs that say
oh what? It's the same both sides. Yes,
that's true. So, but I'm also sure there's a subset of the people in the alternative health system are also selling shit that saves lives, right?
Are they?
The difference is one of them is not intertwangled with the United States government, right?
Oh,
how does that make it any right? That's when you have grifters that are just selling snake oil. Why does it matter if they are or are not propped up by any government, right?
Well,
they're just lying to make money.
It's because those guys they get shuttled into the public, and they work with insurance companies, and basically every run of the mill family that goes in for a routine checkup gets prescribed these things. I mean, there's people that are in the pharmaceutical industry whose job is to take primary care physicians out to dinner, take them out to bars, take them out to strip clubs, and befriend them and convince them to use their drug. I had a guy in here who was a sales rep for Viagra in like the early 2000s and was doing this job. And it's like, your job is to get them to prescribe more shit for more symptoms. Like, we need you to prescribe this for more symptoms and prescribe it more because they get these kickbacks. There's these kickbacks they get from the insurance companies. And if you really like dig into it, it's insanely corrupt, man. And it's so
that's
fucked
crazy.
Up that it's in our healthcare. It's baked into the healthcare system that is supposed to be taking care of everybody in the United States especially the people that are lower income, which really pisses me off. And the fact that the United States is literally, I think, the last or second to last on the list of health outcomes in the world of countries.
Like, to be clear, we do.
Wait, what? Hold on.
Is literally, I think, the last or second to last on the list of health outcomes in the world.
I didn't know that. The United States is last or second to last in healthcare outcomes in the world? Damn, we've fallen 150 places, I guess. Holy shit.
Countries.
Like to be clear, we do need to very strongly differentiate between medical science and the health insurance industry. The health insurance industry is rotten to the core.
Yes.
That's a very, very different thing, right? There's a difference between what is this drug? What does it do?
Right.
Who can it help?
Right.
And who gets it
100%,
for free?
100%.
These are very different 100%. Things. And in America, the only industrialized nation to not have socialized medicine, that's an enormous problem. But you can see how these are contradictory lines of thinking, right? The health insurance industry is terrible because it disallows people from getting the medical attention and the drugs that they need, the ones that work, that actually work, the ones that some would criticize Big Pharma for.
How does it even make sense? I'm sorry, God. Well, health insurance is bad because it stops you from getting drugs. How does it stop you? Does health insurance tell the people that make the drugs they're not allowed to give them out? What do you mean? Why not blame the people that make the drugs? He's like, the problem is he's in that area. There's this weird area that people occupy sometimes where they actually do know some stuff, but they're like kind of, they're like super aligned with some weird narrative, or they have like a high level of allegiance to some stupid fucking talking point, and they end up in these impossible to defend positions where it's like, okay, fuck, like, I think pharmaceutical and healthcare and science is good over here, but like, I also have to explain why there are some problems, and I'm also like a sloppulist, so I kind of sort of hate these institutions too. It's like, okay, let's punt it all off on healthcare or on health insurance. Health insurance will be the sin eater for every single ill in the healthcare industry. That feel when I'm crawling to a hospital and I'm screaming that I need help, and the doctor sees me and the hospital sees me, and then the angry healthcare insurance exec runs up and stomps me in the neck and prevents the hospital and the doctor from giving me free care. Like, I don't know, whatever.
then produce it in the first place. Yes. Right? The health insurance industry, that's where you get the Luigi Mangione's. You get some vigilante.
Oh, my God.
Justice going on. Right. I'm right there with you on the American health insurance industry. Mm-hmm. That's horrible stuff that's going on. That's very different from the medical science, the chemistry, the molecular biology behind what is a drug? Yeah. Is it going to work?
All the Hamilton nurses that are working for these companies in their labs trying to do their best. And I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that exists. They're trying to do their best to actually create good medicines. That is different from the executives sitting in the top of the fucking tower who are working with the insurance companies and the hospitals and trying to grease the wheels of money and trying to make more profit, and lobby the shit out of every single congressman in our country.
Yeah, get 10% more profit here.
It's insane.
And I'm happy to see less of that however we can. But ultimately, it's just trying to add a little more profit on drugs that work, right? Right. These are drugs that help people and save lives. They're trying to squeeze some more money out of it. And let's get rid of that corruption however we can. But the way you do that is is with regulatory bodies that do their job, not with RFK firing everybody that's competent in every single in all of these institutions.
I don't know enough about the vaccine stuff. I haven't done a deep dive on it. I've had people on the show talk about it before, but I've never personally done a deep investigation of it, especially the COVID one. I don't understand it. It's too...
Health insurance doesn't always cover drugs that are prescribed. How is that hard to understand? They are the bad guys. Now, if they paid for the drugs, your premiums are going to go up more, so bad guys. So then don't have health insurance. What do you mean? Just don't get any and go pay for it from the hospitals. What's your problem? What's your issue?
It's not that simple, man.
It's not that simple? What? Because you can't afford it? But you're still not going to blame the hospital or the doctors or the administrators? You're still going to blame the health insurance? No one's making you buy health insurance. If you want, go to the hospital, pay for it. But then if you go to the hospital and like, oh, it's going to be $20,000 for whatever fucking bullshit. Yeah, you still blame the insurance companies? What the fuck? You're not saying anything of substance.
Complex for
me. You're talking to me?
My whole problem.
No, talking to it. YouTube chat. Motherfucker.
All the COVID stuff was all the censorship and all of the mandate stuff. And, basically, I'm not down with the idea of having to wake up in the morning and turn on your TV to find out what your governor is telling you you're allowed to do today, including taking your kid to the park or going to the beach or whatever the fuck it is. I think that's totalitarian. I think that's a slippery slope. And I think once you give them that power, I don't think you ever get it back.
Okay. I think it's a little bit of an exaggeration, though. I mean, I don't know what it was in every state, but I live in California, and there was never a moment where we couldn't go to a park or anything where proper social distancing was happening. Are all of these restrictions totalitarian? Is it totalitarian to say you can only drive on the right side of the street and not the left? Right? There are guidelines in place to ensure public safety. When you have a pandemic, a global pandemic that's killing a lot of people, what are you going to do? Nothing? Just let all the people convene in every manner imaginable and spread it and kill 10 times more people? I mean, something must be done.
Let people figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. I think 12.
What do you think happens during
the
next pandemic? If it,
Ooh, no, we all die, probably. Yeah.
Do you think everybody just doesn't do anything
probably.
To stop?
Yeah.
You're doom pilled.
A dozen people were arrested in New Jersey for trying to go to a church service.
Oh my God. And then they bring up the one bad example, and the story's probably not even fully true. There's probably something else, but it's why not answer? Dave, make him answer your fucking question. What are you supposed to do in a global pandemic? Nothing? Can you not do anything for the government?
Well, what about the one time when you've been...
Make him answer that question. So the government should do nothing. Absolutely nothing, right? Nothing.
I think 12 or maybe two dozen people were arrested in New Jersey for trying to go to a church service and a synagogue. I think it was either a synagogue or a church. I can't remember, but it might have been some sort of a temple. And the governor of New Jersey arrested them for trying to go to church. There was
the
beaches here.
The
beaches
here were
shut down.
Them.
Personally, yes, he did.
Beats like getting arrested.
It's the head executive.
That is totalitarian. No matter what your excuse is for doing.
What is totalitarian even fucking mean? My main issue is the friction the insurance companies cause. I can't even refer my United patients to specialists like surgeons, cardiology, etc., without filling out an extra bullshit authorization form on their website and wait for their approval. Well, you know what, Joe Bro TV? Stop being a lazy fuck and go open up a private practice, and then you can decide whose network you want to be in and who you want to work with. What are you doing in DGG chat when you should be out there opening your own practice up, you greedy fuck doctor? We need a health insurance flair. Where is my chat mod? Bing. I want a hospital flare if you're a hospital administrator, and I want an insurance flare if you work for an insurance company, okay? We need those flares next.
Bring it. It goes against the Constitution. It goes against the First Amendment in the church scenario.
But it has nothing to do. So it's just religious people thinking that they're immune to a pandemic because God, which is ridiculous. And then they convene in large numbers, pass the virus around, and then go out and kill other people. You really can't see the other side of that?
I can see the other side of it if, I understand people were really afraid of it in the beginning. They didn't know what it was.
Oh my God. He's like, I don't know. Maybe I guess I can kind of sort of see. Maybe in the beginning. Yeah, that's when we were in it. In the beginning. What? We didn't have future sight? So we should have changed everything? Or I don't know. Sorry.
I didn't know if this was going to be instant death when it touched you. But I'm not religious by any sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Not relevant to anything that was just said.
But I understand and I respect that, people have
again didn't respond to what Dave said at all, but okay.
They believe them, it brings a sense of community to them, and they have the right, according to the Constitution, the First Amendment.
Oh my God.
To be able to practice their religion and to convene. You know,
what if your religion is to murder people? Should be allowed to do that? Like with a gun, just go around and shooting
well,
people?
That's not the best counter
example. That's a reductio ad absurdum, but what I'm saying is that the broader good, the public health, takes precedent over religious liberty, right? You're not free. You're, like, here's the thing. So with COVID response, there's doing absolutely nothing is insane. Forcing everyone to remain locked in a cubicle for forever is insane. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Something in the middle. So if you want to have a debate about individual states' policies and exactly mm-hmm. where it landed, you can have that debate. And I don't know what every state did. I know what California did, and to me it seemed extremely reasonable. If you lost a business during that time, my sympathy, absolutely. I mean, and you can have a debate. It was a little too much, not quite enough, whatever. But the idea that there should be some kind that it's some kind of constitutional right for religious people to convene and spread a disease that.
I take care of dementia patients in nursing homes. Am I supposed to tell them to figure their shit out and get different insurance? Oh, so Joe Bro, just so I can understand your argument, you're telling me that if you refer somebody to an out-of-network person because you're not paying attention to their insurance, what do you do afterward? You just kick them out on the fucking street and you say, get the fuck out of here, grandma. You should have gotten different insurance. Is that what you're saying, Joe Bro TV? I want to know how many grandmas and grandpas you've killed kicking them out of your hospital beds, all right? Trying to free them up for somebody in-network. I'm just going to say I love you, okay?
We'll kill other people. It's just that's
But how will it kill anyone else other than people who are there?
Because you get it and then you go out somewhere else and then you give it to your family members. And then people were gathering during COVID in every state, you know? Some people were responsible about it and saw very, very few people, maybe only a couple of close friends or something. And then there were very reckless people that changed absolutely nothing about their lifestyle, and those people killed other people. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely the case.
Yeah.
Millions of people died, you know? I mean, it's
yeah. What is this, Steve? You know?
Nothing. He didn't really respond to any of Dave's questions. Dave is on he's being more friendly here, which I understand, actually. I don't know how friendly, actually, right now I would be on these shows, but Dave's not being as confrontational here as he would be otherwise. But I guess I get it.
This is all about the alternative health industry. Pharma is $645 billion.
Landlords-owned hospitals?
Well, I mean, you think about it, a hospital administrator is kind of like a landlord, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Sorry, the bed rent just went up.
Jesus.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Number two is $99 billion. That is fucking crazy.
Right, but it was a very restrictive list that you just provided, right? Like run-of-the-mill supplements don't even fall into that, right? If you're talking about naturopathy and stuff like that.
Well, so he typed in alternative medicine.
It's a very, well, yeah, but look at what the list was of what was included there. It was very, very restrictive.
What else should it have included?
The entire supplement industry.
Ask if this includes the supplement industry or the unregulated substance.
But are all supplements herbal medicine?
Are they just arguing with GPT
now?
No,
for sure, no.
I don't know.
So look, I mean, you don't need to convince me that pharma makes a lot of money, right? It's a gigantic industry.
Right, but it's certainly not bigger than alternative in the U.S., according to that. We haven't included supplements.
But that's why I said it's a restrictive list. But
So what is your position on censoring speech when it came to dissent on the whole COVID narrative and alternative medicines and stuff like that?
I wasn't familiar with a lot of it. I mean, I don't think, like, are you talking about like Twitter and stuff, like were tweets deleted or something?
You should reframe this every single time. What was your position on censoring tweets in it? You mean when Trump was in office in 2020? Yeah, I don't really like when that was happening, right?
Tweets deleted, YouTube, certainly lots of YouTube channels were deleted of practicing physicians who were talking about treating COVID and offering advice.
The Front Care COVID Alliance bullshit. Oh man, I didn't watch this on stream. I will next stream. We have to watch the debate on stream. It's actually abysmal. Like I would never appear.
Whose debate?
This guy, the Professor Dave guy, and the Debunk the Funk guy. They debate two of like the largest like vaccine denier people fucking ever, and it is one of the biggest fucking blowouts. It like unbelievable.
On how to treat it, how to take care of it. There was lots of doctors who had treated thousands of patients themselves and had YouTube channels and were talking about
every single person this guy's referring to is a fucking quack lunatic psycho fuck fringe freak who was part of either the Front Care COVID Alliance. Dave's probably debated some of these people who were like, oh, actually, if you actually pump 1,000 cc's of vitamin C right into this dude's fucking cock and then you fucking load him up with ivermectin prophylactic every single fucking day, they actually never get sick. And I can tell because I've got a study from Kenya.
What they were doing, what the results were, and they had their YouTube channel shut down. I personally had people on the show talking about it and had those episodes taken down and gotten channel strikes because of the reason YouTube gave me was medical misinformation.
Yeah.
They were professionals, academics.
But they were professionals. Oh.
Professionals that engage, you know, in this. That's the problem is you have doctors that get into this grift, right? Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey and Peter McCullough and then, you know,
well, any of those guys.
Avi Loeb and, you know, these, there are professionals that get into this grift, right? Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey and Peter McCullough and then, you know,
any of those guys.
Avi Loeb and, you know, these.
It was almost certainly somebody associated with that COVID Front Care Alliance bullshit.
There are professionals that engage in grifting. So it's not always Billy Carson, some Joker.
It was like FLCCC or something.
Whatever, right? You can have people in the highest echelon of academia that engage in grifting. So I'm under, like, everything that was labeled as medical misinformation was, right? Now, the other question is, should it have been censored? That's a more delicate question. I don't know. I'm pretty neutral on it. I think it is for the public good that it got censored. But do we want that in general? I don't know. To me, I go the completely other way. I'm not really interested in what is censored or what is not censored or whatever it is. I am more interested in flooding the internet with factual information that debunks all the grifters. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, but what if you were getting censored for that?
But in what way?
What if YouTube was demonetizing your content for attacking people that were talking about vaccines or attacking people that were talking about the pyramids?
Well, that would be.
We need to do
the
more.
Pyramids?
There has to be. He probably thinks the pyramids were built by aliens or restorers of fucking. It's unironically. It's fucking retarded. We have to do an underlying fact of the matter analysis. There's too many times where people are like, "How would you feel if you were getting censored?" This. Well, I would feel bad because I don't think I should be censored because I'm not engaging in medical misinformation during a pandemic. So that's why I would feel bad. Not because necessarily cutting some information during pandemics is bad, but because I don't believe that I'm, you know, doing misinformation. Like, that's a fair response. Now, the other person could argue with that if they want to, but that's a real response.
That would really be shocking. Then we would have a situation where factual information is getting censored.
Well, those people believe that their information is factual.
Oh! All of these fucking centristy conservative fucking dick sucks who all were so obsessed with Jordan Peterson's postmodern, post-truth, post-whatever, who were all like standpoint epistemology and the fucking intersectional losers who think you can have your truth, your own personal truth. I'm sorry, is truth or fact just a matter of personal opinion and belief now? Can we really not resolve a fact of the matter on anything? It's really everybody just has a personal opinion, their perspective on what is real or true.
That would really be shocking. Then we would have a situation where factual information is getting censored.
Well, those people believe that their information is factual.
But they don't. They're grifters.
So
this is why you have to dig into it. So I spend a lot of space on health because you do, like, they are professionals and everything they say, it requires a lot of investigation into primary scientific literature. Right? There has to be content that does a deep dive on this stuff to show you, to illustrate. And, you know, you can pick any handful of these guys and I'll come back with a presentation to convince you that they're grifters, right?
But can you see the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth level domino effects of censoring content online based on maybe something legitimate? Maybe.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth level domino effects. And what he's really talking about is just the first level of, like, well, if he gets censored, don't you get censored? That's a sixth level, a sixth order fucking effect? Okay, bro.
Be negative misinformation that could harm people. Do you see what can happen down the road with that?
So, yeah, a couple things. Number one, I do see that because then there's a lot of nuance, right? There are grifters that are perpetrating a grift. And then there are people who are echoing the grift because they fell for it. And then there's people, like, there's a lot of gradations of that.
Fell
and where do you choose to stop? You know, that becomes very tricky. I'm under the impression that it's pretty selective and just the people that are grifting, right? I don't know. But maybe not. You said you got one episode pulled down or something like that.
We had multiple pulled down, but most of them were regarding the medical
touting
stuff.
Touting misinformation.
Yeah. He probably was. True.
I mean, in the urgency of a global pandemic where millions of people are dying, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. But yeah, ultimately, I'm not defending censorship, right? I want to encourage the production and
more
sharing.
Speech, right? More speech.
Yeah. And the problem is that it doesn't. You know, most professionals are not willing to take the time from their job, and you know, you it takes weirdos like me, right? I'm a career science communicator and entrepreneur, and there's very few people that have been able to make a living this way, such that they have all of their time free to hunt down these people, and there's so few. There's just not enough because there's thousands of these people in every single sector of science and technology, and every single one of them needs a counterpart that's debunking them. So I'm trying to debunk 500 people at once, which is why it's hard to retain. You know, every time, particularly in the medical realm, there's so many papers, so much stuff that you really have to dig into that it's impossible to keep all of it in the forefront of your mind at once.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing that video, I'm reading a lot of papers and I'm speaking with a lot of professionals and I'm very thoroughly exposing that individual. And then I move on to another and then another and then another. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen my content move the needle a little bit on certain figures, which is what I want and which is what we need to see. We need a lot more people doing that. So I'm not here like, let's silence everybody. I'm just, let's have the truth be louder than the frauds. That's what I want.
Yeah. And then also on the ivermectin stuff, I had a woman just
oh no, bro.
He just immediately moved.
Yeah,
on.
They don't ever. There's no engagement. Oh,
no,
God.
He's just like, all right, next talking point.
In my head, Mary Bowden. Ever familiar with her? She worked at Houston Methodist Hospital,
case.
And her hospital that she worked at was the first hospital in the country to mandate the shots.
Can you believe that?
She is the doctor you challenged on Twitter about ivermectin treating COVID, and then she posted the document like 1,000 or 100 trash studies showing ivermectin works. Oh, there was some website, some bullshit website that purported to keep track of every positive ivermectin study that had like 60 or 70 of them, but it was like they were all like N=7 or random posts on Reservix or what the fuck, I forget. There's like a medical journal preprint site or whatever where you could post preprints, so they're not even peer reviewed or whatever. It's just. Ugh.
And she treated something like, it was more than 6,000 patients for it. She was a respiratory specialist. And she treated over 6,000 people. And this was starting before the shots came out. and she was using all of the like the recommended treatment. She was using a lot of monoclonal antibodies, which she said were very effective. She was very skeptical about the ivermectin. She did start using it. She did not see any negative effects for the ivermectin. I think she said that she was combining it with heavy doses of steroids, heavy doses of vitamin C, and I think it was the steroids, the vitamin C, breath work or something, some sort of like breathing exercises. This is her. Oh, yeah, yeah, let's watch this real quick. There's like a, she gives herself like a...
Oh, God.
I wish you could just... Dude, I just want like a debate cage match just for like 2 hours where you have to answer questions and you're like forced to engage. Like, hold on. So I just want to check something real quick. You said earlier that COVID wasn't even that deadly, right?
He's like, well, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, ooga booga, yeah.
Okay, and then you say that this woman treated thousands of patients with ivermectin and they all got better eventually, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you not see how these two things are like connected, that most people will just get better? How do we know that the ivermectin or whatever bullshit she was doing was actually improving their outcomes compared to the standard of care? Oh, it's like, that's like why we need a study. Maybe possibly.
But what about the seventh level domino?
True.
Than I do. Throw the little cans on real quick.
Okay.
Also, whatever. I like that nobody ever brings up this talking point because Joe Rogan dick sucked monoclonal antibodies, so they're beyond fucking question. But people complained about the cost of the vaccine or whatever other fucking bullshit or big pharma making money. Monoclonal antibodies in the early stages, these were like $5,000 to $10,000 fucking treatments that were also emergency authorized by the FDA, but for some reason that was okay. They never talk about how that skipped all the studies and research. This was an FDA emergency use authorization, same as the fucking vaccines. Ugh.
I'm tied up over here.
Problem?
Just listen to like 30 seconds of this.
Sure. You're an ENT. She normally doesn't get involved anywhere close to the vaccine issue. And guess what? She is knee deep in this.
Right.
So like Mary, I know we're like almost an hour into this podcast, but let's give you like a brief introduction, like your background.
Right. So I went to Stanford. I'm an ENT.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I kind of stumbled into, I had patients coming to me because no one else would treat them. And I'm an expert in respiratory diseases, so it makes sense. And because I didn't shut my doors, people started coming to me. And initially I tried hydroxychloroquine, but as soon as President Trump mentioned it as an option, it got shut down. I mean, literally the Texas State Board of Pharmacy sent out a letter.
It didn't do anything. It didn't help. It didn't work. I like how all these people also try all the same bullshit. You need to do the thing where as soon as you said, real quick. Okay, I understand. Hold on. I understand what you're going to say about, you know, all this. That's fine. But real quick, just checking. Do you think that oil is like a self-renewing resource under the dirt? I just want to know, I'm just curious what the answer to that is. I'm just curious if you think that, right? And then like, do you think there might be like the lost city of Atlantis? Is that like off the coast? Because these people unironically believe every fucking conspiracy. All of them believe all the conspiracies. They all believe all this stupid shit. All of them. Like, oh, you also happen to believe in every bullshit medication that was never, there was no study that ever showed that any of these were an improvement in standard of care for COVID. None of these ever panned out. Isn't that crazy how the scientific community is like, oh, they probably don't work. It doesn't seem like there was any research to back them up. And none of them do work. And none of them are used anywhere as a standard of care ever.
But as soon as President Trump mentioned it as an option, it got shut down. I mean, literally, the Texas State Board of Pharmacy sent out a letter prohibiting us from prescribing it. So then I moved on to monoclonal antibodies.
Did she say she's an ENT or an EMT? I think ENT, right? Ear, nose,
she's
and throat?
She's an ENT, ears, nose, and throat.
Yeah. And literally, the Texas State Board of Pharmacy sent out a letter prohibiting us from prescribing it. So then I moved on to monoclonal antibodies, and those worked great. People turned around very quickly, and I get unlimited supply. Well, then the government shut that down, and that was right.
What does that mean? Unlimited supply of, I don't know, okay.
Around when Biden mandated the COVID shots, they shut down monoclonal antibodies.
Did she say unlimited or unlimited?
What did you just say? Unlimited or unlimited? What?
A limited.
Oh, a limited supply.
Shut that down, and that was right. And those worked great. People turned around very quickly, and I get unlimited supply.
I think she said unlimited.
I think she says yeah.
Well, then the government shut that down, and that was right around when Biden mandated the COVID shots, they shut down monoclonal antibodies. It was an orchestrated effort. Mm-hmm. And so I started.
Is that true? I thought that monoclonal antibodies do help a little bit. I'm not aware of them being shut down. I thought you could still get that for, I don't know if you could still can. I don't know. But also, this woman is a lying, disgusting fucking piece of shit, so I wouldn't trust anything she says without actually factoring it.
Using ivermectin, and I found that ivermectin worked. I was a little nervous that it wouldn't because monoclonal antibodies worked so well, but what I did find, I found it worked.
I don't think they worked that well. I think they helped a little bit, but not like super duper well.
And so I treated over 6,000 patients. When you see that high volume, I mean, that's something I'll never again experience in my career. I mean, usually I see a wide variety of issues as an ENT. Never had such a large volume of the same disease in such a short period of time, and you become an expert in it. And, you know, I started speaking out, and of course, I got ridiculed, smeared, canceled. I'm still fighting for my medical license. So good. I put everything on the line good. To tell the truth. And I think that brings us to another point is that, you know, all these doctors
she's fined tens of thousands of dollars. was threatened to take her medical license, and you know, she was getting, you know, she wasn't invited to any dinner parties anymore in Texas. Like,
oh no.
Yeah, nothing to gain from it. But you know,
very convincing.
I understand
convincing
that
narrative.
It's whether it's a narrative or it's her actual experience. I mean, it's possible that she's telling the truth.
No, it's not, you fucking retard, you fucking moron. How is it that no other doctor, well, I'm sorry, besides the five other quack doctors, how did so many doctors in so many countries across the entire fucking planet not figure out that an easily accessible anti-fucking parasitic drug massively helped COVID? How did no other country, no other academic institution, no other company, even the company, was it Merck, I think, that made ivermectin in the United States, even they put out a statement saying, by the way, no research shows that this actually fucking helps for COVID. Well, how did nobody else figure that out except this one fucking retarded dipshit lady?
But I understand that, like, none of the scientific journals have published any sort of studies that say ivermectin is effective, right? They none of them do. I listened to your interview with Pierre Corey, and I've listened to other interviews, and that's what people seem to be frustrated by, is that there's no, like, placebo-controlled trials that say that it did work for it.
Right. They're always using very shady trials, very, you know, small cohort, no controls. The first one was just...
There were huge... I know Dave Hessenos, but there were huge trials... Some people would say, I don't know if you ever say like a definitive from. There were huge trials testing ivermectin and I believe hydroxychloroquine. And the end result of these was, you know, go figure, that there was just no improvement in treatment over placebo or standard of care. I don't like that. That was it.
high dose in vitro, which is not applicable to a human system. It just the kernel that they used and then expanded upon was not legitimate. And then mountains of legitimate science is done after the fact because of the fervor that crops up to demonstrate conclusively that it is not effective, both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And so all you can do against this mountain of science that's performed all over the world, all these different countries, all over the place, is just go big, giant conspiracy, pharma paid the blah, 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 whatever. You can do.
But what about people like her who treated over 6,000 patients and she did say that it worked in combination with vitamin C, monoclonal antibodies, steroids, all that?
Okay, so what's the difference between that and it didn't work at all and other things works? You know what I mean? Like that's not how you do science, right? You don't go, I gave them five things and they got better, so this one must have worked. Right? That's not how science works. You know?
I feel like these arguments are okay, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just in my bitch mode right now. These people need to be...
They need to be what?
Sure.
You have to do.
He needs to be going way harder than this guy, but I'm always feeling that way now, so I don't know. Dave usually goes pretty hard. He's probably trying to be bridge building.
Very rigorous trials where you control every single variable, right?
I would bring it up. Oh, okay. What do you think about the children that received hormones and treatment for being trans who grew up and said that it worked? Like, why is it that a few detransitioners is enough to shut down all of trans healthcare, but then a few doctors who are pro whatever ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, that they should have the freedom to explore whatever treatments they want, even if they stand against the entire medical industry? They should be free to do whatever they want.
This is how you test drugs.
So do you ban ivermectin? Is that the answer?
Well, first of all, absolutely not, because it's a legitimate drug.
Should she be allowed to give it to prescribe it to her patients?
I don't know what
for
the
what?
Rules are. I mean, you can I don't think there is a law against off-label prescribing anything. Joe Bro, I think you guys are allowed to off-label prescribe anything. I don't know what the controls around that are. But the big issue you run into is, thank God for our wonderful insurance companies, is my guess is that insurance companies would probably stop covering it, because the insurance company would say, well, this doesn't seem like it helps, so we're actually not going to cover this bullshit ass treatment. So then the doctor wouldn't be able to prescribe it off label, because I don't think you're always guaranteed to get off label prescriptions covered by. Oh, and then also, like, if Medicare decides that they're not going to, or Medicaid decides they're not going to, then
our hero insurance companies.
True.
I don't know how bureaucratic stuff works, but I definitely would look down on any doctor that was prescribing it for COVID, because it was shown to not work conclusively. That and hydroxychloroquine. And that is when those drugs enter the alt health space. That's what I wanted to say about that.
I mean, she wasn't on ivermectin's payroll or anything like that. She didn't make it.
What? She didn't? You just said that. Does she have a private practice? You said she saw 6,000 patients. In what time frame? You don't think she was getting money from those patients? I'm sorry. Was it a fucking charity? Was this a charity doctor who was doing all this for fucking free? What are you talking about? Why are these guys so retarded? They have no mind for critical investigation of anything that's remotely on their side.
I think they're just bad faith, man.
Shut the fuck up.
You don't know that. Right? You have all of these, you know, for the frontline doctors, these organizations. I don't know who that person is.
Also, she's not on the payroll of anybody or getting paid for anything. We just watched her on an incredibly popular podcast. What was she promoting there?
I don't know what her affiliations are. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to just present yourself as the, you know, the underdog fighting the big bad system. Mm-hmm. But all of these people. So the earlier we're looking at the list of alt health versus pharma.
Yeah.
Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are pharmaceutical drugs that have purpose, right? Ivermectin, great Nobel Prize winning drug that eradicated a particular kind of parasite, does fuck all against COVID, but it's a great drug that has a purpose. But then when you take it and you're prescribing it for something that it does nothing against, that's all health. That's when you get into this all health wellness space, and you have all these doctors, frontline doctors, that are getting rich.
Is it ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine that was prescribed also for like lupus. One of these was, and I know they started to run out of the drug because so many people were fucking using it for these stupid off-label COVID prescriptions. I don't remember which one it was, but
because they're telling people, you don't do what the big bad government says. I'll send you this in the mail every month. You give me $90 or whatever, and I'll send you this in the mail. Mm-hmm. Right, that qualifies as all health. And there are a lot of people who got really, really rich.
Yeah, well, that's shitty. When you're starting a pyramid scheme on selling ivermectin, you're
not necessarily a pyramid scheme, but just
whatever it is.
I wonder, what's that doctor's name again? What's the lady's name? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
You fucking loser. What was her name, guys? I wonder if she is like sponsored by or sells any of those weird like far online pharmacy things that sell like ivermectin and shit. The Texas Medical Board reprimanded Dr. Mary Talley Bowden for prescribing ivermectin to a patient at a Fort Worth hospital without privileges. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Does that mean privileges?
To treat at a Fort Worth hospital. Oh. It sounds like she was writing prescriptions in a place where she wasn't authorized to. This is just a reprimand, though, so I don't think she lost her license for that, but who knows what else she's done.
Recurring shit.
These people are grifters.
It is. Yeah, I would agree with you there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, again, I can't for a second bring myself to be able to defend companies like Pfizer, who are fucking sponsoring every single news station and newscast that's telling you that we have to stay indoors, you have to go get your shot and do all this stuff. By the way, we're sponsored by Pfizer. But trust me, even if they were paying us millions of dollars, we would still tell you the truth if we thought this stuff.
What?
Sponsoring. I can't for a second bring myself to be able to defend companies like Pfizer, who are fucking sponsoring every single news station and newscast that's telling you that we have to stay indoors, you have to go get your shot.
Oh, ew. Somebody found her Twitter. She follows me. Gross.
Do all this stuff. By the way, we're sponsored by Pfizer. But trust me, even if they were paying us millions of dollars, we would still tell you the truth if we thought this stuff was bad. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Okay, but stay indoors and get a vaccine. What's wrong with either of those things? what's bad about that messaging?
Well, the question is, do you trust the media and do you trust the government? Do you trust the trillion-dollar corporation?
No! I trust the random lady who is fucking treating people because she said it worked for her, kept 6,000-plus COVID-19 patients out of the hospital. What does that mean? They didn't even go to the hospital? So it's what? She had a private practice? Was she just doing telehealth ivermectin prescriptions? Also, she's selling a book. Dangerous Misinformation. The Virus, the Treatments, and the Lies.
So you cry a lot on X about the mRNA vaccines. If they were really dangerous, don't you think trusted news sources like NBC and CNN would report that? So you cry.
Like, if you look at history and you read history, go look at the Iraq War. Do we trust these people?
Okay.
Shit. We can't trust anybody except every single fucking. Again, this is another thing. If these guys were infinitely skeptical of everybody, then fine. Sure. Okay. You don't want to trust anybody. Fine. But that's not the case. You're trusting this one person, woman or whatever, who comes onto your podcast and sells you a bunch of shit. But you don't trust anybody else. You don't trust the government. You just trust this one. Why do you trust her? What makes her so fucking trustworthy?
Politics is completely different.
It's the news is selling it to
sure.
us.
Sure. But the fact remains that money can't change the laws of physics or the laws of molecular biology and what a disease, it can't change what a pathogen is and how it kills you and what will cure it and what will defend, right? These are all realities of the natural world. And this is what scientists seek to study. So you can find a media distortion. You can find a special interest group. You can find these things, but ultimately what a disease is and what cures it cannot be manipulated
in
that way.
Right?
You have scientists all over the world that are studying this stuff. That's why, again, I'm going to keep bringing it back to this. The consensus of the global scientific community is what you go by. When you have somebody that's contradicting that, you want to be skeptical of that person.
Wrong.
Right? So ivermectin doesn't work against COVID. Not because Pfizer said so. It's because all of the scientists all over the world say so, right? There's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm. Amanita muscaria is the third most popular microdosed psychoactive in the U.S. with over 3 million people using it. That's more than LSD or DMT. But there's a
what?
Popular. Because all of the scientists all over the world say so, right? There's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm. Amanita muscaria is the third most popular microdosed psychoactive in the U.S. with over 3 million people using it. That's more than LSD or DMT. But there's a wave of dangerous gas station fakes out there, so who knows how many people were cheated out of the real deal. Amantara is the complete opposite of those scams, which is why I only trust Amantara. I never would have even touched Amanita muscaria if it weren't for Amantara. They are the trusted Amanita supplier in the U.S., totally legal, no synthetics, and 55,000 happy customers. Small doses put you in a calm, focused, flow state type headspace, while medium doses are more like a jolly alcohol alternative, great for sleep, dreams, and some people even call it nature's wine. I take a few of these capsules most days after work, and it helps me forget about the stress of the day and be more engaged with my family.
Why should we believe you? You're literally, bruh, major bruh moment, bruh.
Imagine being in a stressful environment and not feeling triggered. That's
these
what Amanita
cool
does. Amantara is the largest Amanita muscaria supplier in the U.S. Totally legal, ethically sourced, and lab tested. They have the largest Amanita selection, from oils, capsules, to chocolates, and the raw caps. It's not just a store or a single product. These guys are helping pave the way for a new legal medicinal psychoactive mushroom in the U.S.
The medicinal Like, this guy just said, oh, so I'm supposed to trust big media when you're sponsored by Pfizer about the vaccines? Like, you tell me the truth anyway? Meanwhile, here's my alternative health wellness supplement fucking bullshit-ass fucking company. It's all good. Now, not to say this is bull. I don't know what the fuck these guys even sell, but...
Yeah, don't get
really happy to be a part of it. Go to amentara.com/go/DJ and use the code DJ22 for 22% off your first order. That's amentara.com/go/DJ. And don't forget to use the code DJ off your first order. Amentara paved the way for a new legal medicinal psychoactive mushroom in the U.S. And I'm really happy to be a part of it. Go to amentara.com/go/DJ and use the code DJ22 for 22% off your first order. That's amentara.com/go/DJ. And don't forget to use the code DJ22 for 22% off your first order. I just question it when most of the scientists are paid by the pharmaceutical companies.
But they're not.
Bro.
How do we know?
I mean,
most scientists.
How do we know?
I've talked to have gotten grants from pharmaceutical.
We're talking about millions of scientists.
Right.
We're talking about an unbelievable. It doesn't make sense.
Who pays them to study the stuff? Who pays them to study the drugs?
I mean, yeah, all kinds of things. I mean, you'd have to identify an individual study, and we would find the source of the funding there.
If you were to broad brush it, like by and large, most scientists, say there's a fucking billion scientists in the world that are studying that are researching drugs. Who pays them to do it?
Whatever government they're working under.
You think the government pays for it?
I mean,
why can't Dave? I don't know, because Dave just hates everything private, corporations, or whatever. Can Dave just not say that? Of course, they fund their medical trials, or
a government or a country that has national or socialized medicine, right? But certainly not in the United States. So United States medicines.
No, still. I mean, a large percentage of grants are from the government. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, medical science in general and molecular biology in general, right? It's when you're looking at what viruses do and what bacteria do and what a drug does and what an antibody does and all these things, this is just general science, mm-hmm. right? And so you can have clinical trials on a drug. That's very different from scientists who are just performing general research on pathogens, and, you know, epidemiology, and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of government grants, and, you know, there are private corporations that are also utilizing profits to do research. Mm-hmm. So money's coming from every. I mean, it's very easy to just go money. Okay, money came from a thing.
It's the number one common denominator with most of this stuff. And it doesn't have to be just like financial incentives. It can also be like personal vendettas.
Yeah.
I heard you talk with Hamilton about this, and I've heard he's talked with me about this on this podcast, is there's like a really famous psilocybin study or MDMA study where there was this rich family who literally paid millions of dollars to buy podcasts and propaganda to sabotage this MDMA study and like the mm-hmm. public perception of MDMA.
It's very interesting because
does he have like
true?
A source for any of this?
Yeah,
or?
What is that? Why? Who the fuck would even care? Dude, I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong, but like MDMA is I think relatively expensive of all the drugs that are like commonly used. I think MDMA is like relatively expensive to make. And I don't know why pharma wouldn't want to sell MDMA to people. No, I don't know.
It's about this. Number one.
It's very easy to just go money. Okay. Money came from a thing.
It's the number one common denominator with most of this stuff. And it doesn't have to be just like financial incentives. It can also be like personal vendettas. Yeah. I heard you talk with Hamilton about this, and I've heard he's talked with me about this on this podcast, is there's like a really famous psilocybin study or MDMA study where there was this rich family who literally paid millions of dollars to buy podcasts and propaganda to sabotage this MDMA study and like the mm-hmm. public perception of MDMA.
It's very interesting because a bunch of people left comments.
And like, it's weird because like you're literally funded by people that sell mushrooms and shit. And now you're defending, you know, MDMA. Like, who's to say that you're not paid for it? Like using your own fucking standard.
Saying that was not true. And I didn't look into it further. Mm. So I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
there's a guy I've had on the show many times. He's a journalist, and he follows all the psychedelic stuff. Mm-hmm. All he follows like every single psychedelic study. He's very skeptical of the whole industry. And he was a part of a really early psychedelic study in like the 90s, I think.
There's not too many people that are denying just by and large that psychedelics have no therapeutic application. I think the vast majority of the scientific community is on board with that.
The story was with this on this specific case was,
keeps going.
And they threatened to sue Hamilton over this because he exposed it, was that there was this study that was going on with MDMA. And there was this guy who was really old. He was a Holocaust survivor. Some of the girls that were involved with this study somehow met him and started giving him MDMA, and he's like turned his life around. He was mm-hmm. like in his late 90s, and he was loving it. He was loving his girls. I'm sure they were like banging him or whatever, and they were also giving him MDMA.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, I love this. You got how much money you guys want to sponsor your MDMA study?
Mm-hmm.
And the granddaughter of this guy was like, what the fuck? He's giving these MDMA whores my inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to take a bunch of her money to sabotage mm-hmm. their stuff. So like, it's not like some big cabal. It's not some big organization that's just trying to make profit. It's just a personal vendetta. But like, it's about money at the end of the day.
Yeah, and there are frauds within within the medical establishment as well.
I don't, maybe this happened. I don't even know, bro.
And Andrew Wakefield was bribed $500,000 to pen the Lancet study. Andrew Wakefield penned the 1990s.
Yeah, I was going to say, he saying Wakefield because he wants this other guy to bite on it, but this guy probably doesn't even know the name. The vaccines cause autism study.
It's the Lancet study that started the whole vaccines autism craze that will never go away.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, it's a...
It's like the most popular fucking anti-vaxxer fucking study of all time. He's never even fucking heard of. Not I. Fine, you don't know the name. Fine, that's fair. But you don't even know the claim. How you've like this is like ground zero. Like you've done no research whatsoever. You're about to debate somebody over like quantum physics, and people start bringing up formulas and shit, and you're like, what the fuck is that? The cross? Is this about like religion? It's like, what do you mean the cross? And it's like the thing between the two letters. What is the cross? You mean the plus sign? You fucking the plus sign? How are you even talking about? It's okay.
It's a whole saga. I mean, he's like, you know, the most major figure in the anti-vax movement, sort of catalyzed from the mid-90s much of what is happening now. But that's what I'm saying. He was a doctor. He was a gastroenterologist. Like, it's possible to... It's humans. It's society. There's people. There's politics. There's stuff going on at all times, right? There's money over here. There's money over there. That's just life. That's just reality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But
that's human nature.
Yeah, the problem is... And there's no...
But only human nature when it's dealing with big pharma and the government, but not human nature on the wellness supplement side.
Problem in going, this individual instance of fraud occurred. Let's expose that and right. let's dish out some justice there. The problem is when you have the alt health space just relentlessly spinning this overblown villainization of pharma while they are the one, while they are making enormous amounts of money peddling snake oil. I mean, it's that's the main take home message here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, you're going to get bad apples. It's like, would you rather have three news channels that are feeding you all your information and you can't get it from anywhere else? Or would you rather it be open season where everyone can go out and find information and you have to?
Oh, my God. Oh, because that's what they do. I'm going to let me go and watch 52 different podcasts on fucking ivermectin to figure out the truth of the matter. Oh, and by the way, those 52 podcasts, every single host is going to be a fucking retard that is. It's all, like all of these takes are children's. Like this is like I expect. Have you ever listened to like 4-year-olds talk to each other? It sounds like premature, like the early LLMs having bot conversations.
Yeah, it's a little like
AI they're just like saying sentences that are like kind of grammatically correct, but they're kind of like funny and weird. They don't really make sense, but you understand how it could make sense. It's like this is what listening to these guys fucking talk, not Dave, but like this podcast guy is just so fucking stupid. Oh my fucking God!
Well, I mean, it's that's. The main take-home message here.
I mean, this is gonna it's gonna happen. You know, you're gonna get bad apples. It's like, would you rather have three news channels that are feeding you all your information and you can't get it from anywhere else, or would you rather it be open season where everyone can go out and find information and you have to use your brain to figure out what's bullshit and what's good?
When the latter is the situation that we have now, and unfortunately, an unbelievable percentage of the media landscape is
bullshit.
So yeah, it's a good point, right? Yeah, when you have three news channels, does that mean that there was and it was very very respectable fact-based journalism? Doesn't mean there's no propaganda, right? Of course, there can be propaganda that's just like there's a whole genocide happening over here that no one is talking about,
right.
And you'll never know about it because it's not on the
news. This is the reason why Dave hates me. Is because he's obsessed with the Israel-Gaza thing, which is funny because he commits all the same errors when it comes to Israel-Palestine as he sees other people doing with a vaccine shit, but that's okay.
100%. That's absolutely was the case. You know, and now you can't hide a genocide. Everyone's got a phone and they're filming it and showing, you, showing it to you.
Which I want to talk about. That is probably the most unifying thing in this country right now.
Sure.
What did you just have pulled up, Steve? For drug research, where does the majority, what is it, ChatGPT? Where does the majority of funding come from? Government grants, pharmaceutical companies, or anything else?
Like and useful like what this? Is
no, you just play the N-word soundboard sometimes.
Okay. In total dollar terms, the majority usually comes from pharmaceutical and biotech companies, not government grants. In the U.S., CBO, whatever that is, reported that the pharmaceutical industry spent $83 billion on research and development in 2019, and a National Academics NCBI review says private industry and the sector, or says private industry as a sector, was the largest overall investor in biomedical research.
Yeah, so pharmaceutical companies invest in R&D to develop drugs, right? That's what that's, right?
Right, exactly.
They make drugs. Right. That's the business. It's the business of making drugs.
Yes.
It takes a lot of money to make drugs.
Right, well, what was the question, though? The question was what?
Well, you were asking about where all the funding comes from for medical science.
Drug research. Obviously, yeah. Okay, that question is in drug research. Obviously, the money would.
But the drug research is hard because you have general research that finds breakthroughs and discovers like general scientific knowledge. It's up to a private company to bring all of that into formulate it into a way that creates a drug that is safe and treats a disease or whatever. So, like, but I don't know how you even capture the public research part of that. It's one of the reasons why I get annoyed at. The fucking lefties and shit, they'll say, oh, actually, the public sector does way more funding for research than the private sector does to bring a drug to market. Like, well, not technically, because the private sector ultimately is the one that has to invest in the actual formulation of a drug and then the actual application of the drug and then doing the trials and everything. But the public sector does do research to bring these things. It's not like pharmaceuticals are generally, I don't believe they're generally out there doing like novel research on novel things that nobody knows anything about. I think usually that's like general-ish research or whatever, or research branching off of other research. And then when a pharmaceutical company sees something where it's like, oh, this could be a drug application, then they start to invest in it.
Come from the companies that are selling the
drugs. But I think right? What you wanted to talk about is where academic research is, funding for academic research is coming from, in anything that is tangential pertains to.
The correct question would be, what academic scientists, how much, what percentage of funding
right.
for science in you can't really lump it into like science. That's too broad.
Yeah, if you're talking about science in general,
science you'd be talking about for this kind of stuff.
Even that is difficult. If you're just talking about medical science in general, or something that would be
medical science, yeah. That's a good one.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I mean, obviously, I mean, it's very, very broad, right?
And you also have to narrow down to the U.S. medical science in the U.S.
But science is—that's the thing about academic science is that much or most of academic science is just let's figure shit out. How do things work? What is this made of? What does it do? Right? The point of academic science, which is why it's so tragic that the funding for science is being slashed under this administration, is it's scientists that want to figure stuff out and know how everything works and find cool new applications. You know, like they're doing the foundational work that then others can go
in
industry and say, well,
they
just figured out
how
there's this material. What can we do with this material, and we can make this thing or whatever. Right. That's what's incredible about academic science, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in the private sector, everything's obviously very profit oriented, mm-hmm. and so to sacrifice academic science, which is what we're seeing right now, you're losing that foundational layer of like just what happens if we try this, or you know what what's this thing all about? It's the true exploratory science is largely happening in academia.
You find anything, Steve? Do you type in medical science? Yes. Oh, it's still searching. ChatGPT is going slow for us. Yeah, and you know, just again,
he ran out of tokens.
Some of the history some of the history of America and like the science that has been done in America for
Tuskegee, yes,
nefarious reasons and nefarious terms. It's once you learn about that and you're exposed to that, it's really hard to get that out of your head.
Yeah,
you know,
you can't trust anything.
Is this just a schizo podcast?
This is every conservative thing. You can't, nothing is trustworthy. You can't do anything for it's all of it is just fucking retarded.
Like you have to do your own research forever.
And it's all brainless points too.
That might be human nature.
Like, you're gonna go to that one probably.
Maybe Tuskegee is one. Maybe Operation Paperclip is another one. Maybe
what is the fucking taking of German nuclear scientists and shit and commanders after the fucking World War II? What do you trust, bro? Like, what do? Do you drive a fucking car? Do you turn on your light and trust your electricity? Do you drink water? Do you eat food? Like, what?
The Manhattan Project is a good example of the top scientists in the world, including Nazi ones.
Yeah, build the bomb and kill people with it. I mean,
right, like that's the goal here is to kill people.
But I mean,
and look, you can't broad brush everything with that.
That's
obviously,
war,
but it's like when you learn about all this stuff, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, but so there's a couple things here. So number one, we do want to differentiate between the veracity of science and what people do with it. So there are those in that space that want to call into question the validity of science. There's nothing wrong with the validity of the science that made the bomb. That's why the bomb worked, right? So they figured out a bunch of physics, and then they made a bomb with it. I'm not saying
whether it's valid or not. Right. I'm just questioning the motive.
Sure. But there are a lot of people who just, you know, all, you know, physicists are all, it's all fake and all this stuff. Right? So
there's people that think nukes are fake. Things aren't real. You know that? Are you aware of that one? You got to check that one out.
There's just, at this point, nothing surprises me on the internet. But then, so putting that aside.
He jokes about
doesn't he say this when he peddles fucking conspiracies himself?
Who?
He's making fun of people who don't believe in nukes.
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, like, he says he doesn't believe in any medical science. Yeah.
People do bad things. In the world, there are people that do bad things, and there are people who use science to do bad things. And, I mean, all we can do is point out all these instances and where malfeasance is occurring and, you know, shine a spotlight on it, you know, try to educate people on what has happened in the past and then try to empower regulatory bodies to minimize that happening in the future, right? That's why we need a robust FDA. We need these institutions to be able to do their job. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this constant seesaw between the government and the private sector.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunately how the world works.
Seesaw, it's a marriage.
Yeah, well, it's a very one-sided marriage.
Look at Trump's cabinet. Look at all the AI people. Look at Peter Thiel. All these people.
That are a maniac.
And you know, Alex Karp talking about dropping fentanylated urine on his enemies.
How does this guy justify his belief in nuclear weapons when he's actually never seen one, though? I feel like this...
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, like, you could probably make an argument to him that there's more evidence for vaccines working than nuclear weapons being used. I was going to say that, but then I thought... What would probably happen if you had that debate is he would just wouldn't believe in nuclear weapons. Like, you would think you would work on one side, but he would actually just be like, fuck, dude, you're actually totally right.
Like, paw.
Yeah, I don't think nukes are real. You actually convinced me, bro. I'm like, no, that's
not
what I meant.
Shit.
Yeah, so I was like, whatever.
Getting all this money, like billions of dollars.
There's also like, it's just such a red flag to know anytime somebody knows, like, how do you know the specific names of all these weird things or all these like Operation Paperclip or anything else? But like, you probably don't know anything about any of the surrounding topics here. Like, it shows a huge bias in how you're acquiring information about everything. Yeah.
No. Alex
Karp. Well, I'm surprised you didn't know the leader of the anti-vax movement. That seems like
Or at least
someone...
the vaccines causes autism study.
Sure. Yeah.
Fentanylized urine on his enemies. Like, these are people that are getting all this money, like billions of dollars from the U.S. government, and like literally probably mostly responsible for getting him in power, grooming J.D. Vance, like all this crazy stuff.
Yeah. And head of EPA in the pocket of, you know, fossil fuel lobby. Like, just you have people being put at the heads of institutions that are antithetical to the purpose of the institution, right? So this is why
it's
rotten to its core, and that's why, like, Government bad. Okay, we have the private sector. Right now, the seesaw is that the private sector has undue influence on the government. So you have, you know, a lot of the anti-establishment narratives going on right now are very like pro private sector. Right, the government sucks. Academia is communism. All this stuff. We need to give all the money to Elon Musk because he's a brilliant man that knows what to do. In the meantime, that's the point of Doge, is to go in and just dismantle.
That's probably what this guy believes, by the way, that Elon Musk is fucking brilliant.
Really, you think you see that? People.
Wait, what? You think people are sucking off Elon Musk? The guy who is given unprecedented
unlimited authority to go through every single executive branch agency we have to quote-unquote audit?
Man that knows what to do. In the meantime, that's the point of DOGE, is to go in and just dismantle all the...
Really? You think
that can,
you see that? You see,
oh, yeah,
people,
yeah. So the propaganda that is directly from the oligarchy is of this flavor, right? Academic institutions are woke indoctrination camps and all of the blah, 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 and this, you know, everybody sucks there, and don't go to college, and everything from a college sucks. So it's very pro-private sector, right? It's very deliberate, right? That's why we're seeing this movement towards dismantling regulatory bodies and giving more and more and more power and influence to the private sector. So, you know, that's not, I'm not saying government good, right? There's a, you don't want a totalitarian government that wreaks havoc on the private sector. Right now, it's not the case, right? We have the other situation where the private sector has too much influence on government, right? You can buy politicians and make them, you know, do what you want.
And they're also using their influence to trade stocks because they know what's going to happen. They know the laws that are going to change, the policies that are going to change, and they're making the rules. They can predict the future. I mean, similar to like you see with some of this crazy insider trading on this fucking straight horror moves shit right now.
Sure. Yeah. I know very little about it, but I instantly believe it.
Oh, hold on. We have a source saying a United States Secret Service officer shot during the White House correspondents' dinner was not hit by friendly fire, officials say. They determined that Cole Allen fired the shot.
When? Shotgun? And the guy survived?
Six shots were fired total, one by Allen and five by the agent. The bullet likely struck the agent's phone inside his vest, preventing serious injury.
Yeah, that's a doubt for me.
Do we have the kickback, the recoil on him firing a shotgun? Would he have fired it while running? And it was buckshot. How did he have a super tight choke? I feel like there would have been a bit of a spread on that, but it all got hit by one. I don't know. It was Trump phone. Oh my God! If they came out and said he was blocked by cinema. Trump phone, I'm going to be honest. I would take back every criticism from this administration, and I would just say shrimp alive cinema.
I'd be a conspiratard then, man.
I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it, bro. You got it, man. To a Trump admin, they deserve it. They got it.
But I mean, so it's a tricky situation, right? Because governments have to exist. We need governments as a society, as a civilization. But the trick is, you know, when you see an administration that is appointing all these people to these cabinet posts, right? It takes a very large grassroots political movement to, number one, recognize the problem, right? Anybody who can't see that RFK is a nightmare, that's very problematic, right? That society can't unanimously agree that RFK is a nightmare.
I don't see how he's a nightmare.
Okay, he's completely 100% antithetical to public health. Everything about him, he is if one of those...
I don't know anything about... Oh my
God. He's a nightmare. That's very problematic, right? That society can't unanimously agree that RFK is a nightmare.
I don't see how he's a nightmare.
Okay, he's completely 100% antithetical to public health. Everything about him, he is if one of those insane TikTok wellness influencers became the head of HHS. That's what he is, right?
So he's not a TikTok influencer. He's been suing public health people for decades.
Suing them? So like he has a financial incentive to believe the things that he's saying? Is he making money off of it? You see how like the lack of skepticism from these guys is just like it's actually inexplicable. Like I don't know if they would pass like a test to see if the lights are on. Like, are you even conscious right now? Like, I don't understand how. Is there anything happening up there or?
No. Yeah.
One correct. There's not.
Main sources, or his main source of income is lawsuits. He gets finder's fees for lawsuits, but none of those lawsuits actually demonstrate harm from vaccines or anything. They're all just,
well, not just vaccines, but also glyphosate, right? Wasn't there a guy
he rolled right over for Monsanto? He's deregulating. He's deregulating for all these things. He waves this flag of like, I'm a champion of the people. He absolutely is actually doing the opposite. I mean, not only is he firing everybody from all these institutions, CDC and FDA that have any.
He's firing everybody.
I mean, not everybody. But, I mean, yeah, like in thousands upon thousands.
Maybe
of
he's just like fumigating all the fucking corruption out of.
No, he's
there.
No, he's making it.
I hate my life. He's just getting rid of all. He's just getting rid of all the corruption. Oh, he's just getting rid of all the corruption.
Corrupted by fumigating out all the legitimate scientists.
Yeah, but how do you know? Exactly. How do you know he's not getting the corruption out of there?
Because the output of these institutions is now exclusively medical misinformation. Right. That's what's happening now. Is you have never before had medical misinformation of this degree coming out of official state channels.
Like which
it's
one?
Never happened before.
Like what?
CDC. CDC's no longer.
What is the CDC saying that's medical information?
How about the fact that they claimed that they were going to find a cure for autism in like 3 months, and then they came out and then they blamed Tylenol, and then they walked it back and just haven't said anything about it since. What the fuck?
RFK tells Trump, I'm going to figure out the cause of autism because that's what's going to happen. And then he goes on and say, it's Tylenol. We figured out it's Tylenol. All this crap, you know.
Pushing. Is that not true?
Oh, no, of course.
My life! My food's almost here. I got to leave soon. I got to do my Devo prep soon. Get me the fuck out of here, bro. Oh, my fucking God. It's actually, this is just fucking retarded.
And then he had to.
How do we know? How do we know it's not true?
Plenty of studies.
How do we know it's not true? He said it, didn't he? How do we know it's not true?
Done, and then more after this insane accusation, and then they got sued, of course, by the makers of Tylenol.
Of course they did.
So it's just like,
of course, Big Pharma sued them. Notice how he says right there, of course they did, because suing people is so bad. What did we say before about RFK? He's been suing all these big companies, so he must be the good guy. Oh, the makers of Tylenol sued RFK? Of course they did. Suing is bad, except when RFK does it. It's fucking awesome.
It's a non-stop circus sideshow of a guy who definitely has no...
Also, how fucking retarded is this guy? Wait, did this guy think... I'm sorry. Did this guy think we cured autism? Was he on his podcast genuinely every day like, damn, RFK, that's a real-ass ninja. Motherfucker cured autism. Crazy. Is that, was that his thought up until Professor Dave gave that counterpoint? Did he think that?
What he's talking about. I mean, everything the guy said. I mean, he's like an HIV denialist. You know, all like really insane stuff. We've never seen this
fake
before.
News.
Yeah, in HHS or in you know, in NIH, and then Jay Bhattacharya is right behind him. Also, just complete fraud. And so this is what you have. You have you have all these institutions being stacked with loyalists that are running this the narrative of this administration. And we need to. The core issue is getting the public aware that that's what is happening, because then you can vote people out of office, and then you can vote people into office that will put credible people at the helm of these institutions, and you can very slowly start to rehabilitate this.
What did you find? What are you looking for?
He's an HIV.
Well, of course, Google's going to say this, bro.
Wait, so now it's not. The AI doesn't work now. Even though he was using it for every fucking answer before. What the fuck?
What did he actually say about it? Oh my God. That is unreadable.
This is too much to read. It's like four sentences. It's like 20 words. It's a 20-word highlight.
I mean, Drunk. So...
Okay, what is... Claims on HIV-AIDS causation. In his 2021 book, The Real Anthony Fauci and Other Public Statements, Kennedy's argued that AIDS is not exclusively caused by HIV. He has asserted that his initial AIDS epidemic was linked to the use of poppers in the gay community rather than the virus. So he's saying AIDS is not the exclusive cause. Well, does that make him an HIV denialist?
Of course not. HIV is, causes AIDS.
Right. Well, he's not denying that HIV also causes AIDS.
Oh, my God!
He's saying it's not the exclusive cause.
Okay, but what he's saying is absolutely insane, and it doesn't make any sense at face value. Anyway, right? It is a disease caused by virus, caused by the HIV virus. That's what it is.
Right.
This is well known.
He's saying it's also other things, right?
But
how do you know that it's not?
Because it's caused by virus. It's a viral disease.
Have you talked to AIDS experts on this?
Dude, come on, man. Every
okay, I don't know if Professor Dave knows. Okay, I don't. But there was a theory for a while that. I say for a while, but I don't know, maybe people still believe this, that AIDS is just caused by basically being immoral. And that's what, I don't know if fucking anybody here, like poppers are like a drug that is commonly used in like the gay community. So that's, that theory was homophobic. I'm not trying to be a wokey, but like, that's what that theory was. Oh, I don't think AIDS is actually caused by HIV. I think it's caused by the drugs that these guys use, poppers. That's what he's saying. It's a homophobic attack on the gay community. That's it.
This is such a laughingstock talking point, right? We look at where we.
He needs to justify it more. I don't know if he should know that. I'm sure he knows this.
Jack shit about AIDS.
Look at where we have come with AIDS treatment. Why do you think that whereas AIDS was a death sentence in the 80s and 90s, that now it is not? That
big pharma.
The use
big
of various
pharma.
Therapeutics.
Right. Big pharma.
Because we know how it's caused. Mm-hmm. We have drugs that target every single step in the replication cycle of the virus. Are inhibitors of this step and this step. We understand very, very well. This is what I'm talking about. What's alarming is what you just did. I want everyone listening to not do that, right? So what you have to have is this intense skepticism. When somebody like RK says something like that, poppers cause AIDS. This is insane because, and if you don't know a lot about AIDS, but you can look into it, right? You can look into what these drugs do, how they affect the replicative cycle of the virus, how well we understand HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
And that's why we're able to treat it so effectively.
Well, here's the thing. I think that you should be skeptical of everything. I think that...
Except RFK Jr.